Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting for Tuesday, May 11, 2010. The first item on our agenda is the consent agenda. Mr. Manager.
Item 1 is approval of the minutes of the previous meeting of April 20th. Item 2 is a resolution approving the 2010-11 Home Program Action Plan. Item 3 is a report from the UNC Capstone Group on Homeowners Association impacts on sustainability practices in Carrboro, and I think you'll have a substitute resolution at your places on this item. Item 4 is a resolution affirming the right to reproductive health care.
What's
pull
number 4?
Sure. Is there a motion for the consent agenda 1, 2, and 3?
Could I just comment on number 3?
Yes, it's been moved in second. Comment on number 3.
I just wanted to, first of all, point out how I was fortunate enough to go to the presentation. Unfortunately, we had canceled our Board of Aldermen meeting, so the students who worked on this report weren't able to come. But I went, and I was really impressed, and so I just wanted to thank the students and Alderman Dan Coleman for having spearheaded the work that was done in looking into how to make there be more sustainability practices within the homeowner associations.
That's the report?
No, I don't know.
Do we have the report?
No, we haven't received it yet.
So, it's just kind of.
But we appreciate it nonetheless.
We can refer it in absentia.
Okay. That's a little outside the dots, but. If you two think that it's worthy of being referred to staff, I will go with your recommendation. But it'd be nice to see it.
Okay, well, let's defer. We have a motion. You can vote against the motion.
No, I'm going to vote for the motion. I just want to see the report.
Okay.
Do you
we'll get that circulated when it arrives.
We'll receive the report?
Yeah, we'll receive it by now.
Telepathically.
Well, that's the window of time.
Okay, call to question.
All right. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Do you want me to comment?
I'll turn it over to you. This number 4 is a resolution affirming the right to reproductive health care. And I was at a retreat at work all day, and I saw a flurry of emails about this, and I wondered if Dan could comment.
Yeah, I guess it's worth commenting on this, that there was a mistaken report on Channel 17 News this morning that we were reconsidering whether our health insurance coverage should include abortion coverage for our employees, and that is not the case, and that's been corrected. What this resolution actually does is affirm the right to reproductive health care for all citizens of Carrboro, particularly for women, and that the choice of whether to bear a child is a private one between a woman and her doctor. And with that, I'll move the item.
Second.
All right. Resolution has been moved and seconded. Any other comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. And with that, we are on item B1, presentation of manager's recommended budget for fiscal year 2010-2011.
Health care coverage mess. Not the whole health care coverage mess, just
the really touchy part.
Just the really touchy part.
Everybody ready?
We're ready.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for the opportunity to present the proposed 2010-2011 budget for the town of Carrboro. And before I start, I want to recognize a few folks. We have most of our department heads over to the right, and I appreciate them being here. And most of all, I appreciate the work that they've done in getting us to this point with the budget. It's me standing up here, but it's those department heads and all of the employees that they represent that makes what I think is a pretty good budget considering the circumstances possible. And they didn't give me a lot to do in terms of cutting because they did such a great job on their own in doing the work. And I want to also thank Sandy Svoboda, our budget analyst and purchasing officer, for all the work she did, and Bing Rennick, who did a lot of work on this budget as well. And if you've noticed the very colorful cover, shout out to Jeff Cleveland in the Planning Department, because Jeff each year is sort of tasked with the responsibility to come up with a creative design for the budget cover, and I think he always does a really nice job with that.
So. This one's out there, man.
Yeah.
It's great. Yes. It's trust me, it's more out there than the budget is.
Yeah. It's a made-up budget. So,
only part of the budget.
We had to have something right. That was colorful. It's not this budget.
So, all budgets are a really good thing.
Well, good. All right. There were several key things that we had in mind in putting this budget together. First on the list was to try to avoid a tax rate increase. Second was to maintain our current service delivery levels. Third was to maintain our current active employees, jobs, and fringe benefits package. And fourth was to continue with our long-term planned capital initiatives to the extent that the budget could support that. And I believe the budget accomplishes all of those goals. I think it's important to note, while we see some business trends improving, though from day to day, statement may not appear to be accurate, but I think overall things are looking a little better. But public sector revenues, especially for us, I can say, which are largely based on property and sales tax revenues, are still lagging behind, and we've got some challenges ahead of us. And this budget very much mirrors what we went through in preparing the budget for the current year. Tough revenue situation, pressure on our expenditures, and this was a very difficult budget to put together. But we tried to come up with a series of budget strategies to address both short-term and long-term needs. And also, we wanted to make sure, while we were providing an excellent level of services to the community, that we were watching out for both the long-term and the short-term and long-term fiscal condition of the town's budget. And again, I think we've accomplished that. I said one of our goals was no tax rate increase. I'm happy to report that this budget does not propose a tax rate increase. And despite what some folks might like to say about the town, this will be five out of the last 8 years, if the board approves the budget as proposed with no tax rate increase, it will be five out of the last 8 years that we've not had a property tax rate increase either proposed or approved by the board. And I think considering our tax base and considering the level of services that we provide to the community, that's no small feat for the board to have done that. No program expansions or any new positions funded, and in fact, we're continuing to maintain what we call a soft freeze. There are several positions that remain frozen right now and will continue to be frozen, and we continue, when there are any vacancies, we analyze the vacancy to make sure that it's one that needs to be filled. And, you know, most of them, other than ones that have stayed on the frozen list for the last year or so, are ones that we're trying to fill because, again, we want to make sure we're maintaining that appropriate level of services for the community. This is the picture in the graph. The proposed budget is about $18.5 million, and as is no surprise, the two biggest pieces of this pie are property tax revenues and sales tax revenues. Those two items make up a little over three-quarters of the entire revenue picture for the town of Carrboro, so those are significant pieces. It's also, I think, interesting to point out that this budget represents over $500,000 reduction compared to the current year's budget, or about a 3% reduction from the 2009-2010 budget. Few things I'll point out. You'll see I mentioned over $500,000 reduction in the budget. The big piece of that, about $444,000, is in what we call non-recurring revenues, and the biggest bulk of that would be transfers that we had this year. We made a large transfer out of reserves to do our biennial street resurfacing program, so that's not going to be taking place this coming year. Our installment financing for vehicle purchases is also down about $60,000 because we've got a little smaller list this year. And I'll talk a little bit more about recurring revenues because that's the piece that is a little more concern. The transfers in, those sort of come and go from year to year, but the recurring revenue reduction is something that we don't often experience. We usually see growth in those recurring revenues. And here are some of them that are of interest. Our recreation fees because of participation, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Interest earnings because while it's a great time if you can qualify to borrow money, it's not a very good time to be investing in the kind of investment instruments that we're allowed to invest in as a local government. Unrestricted governmental revenue is from the state, and we're anticipating the possibility of our beer and wine revenue, a portion of it being withheld again. We're just trying to be very cautious, and there's some other state revenues that, may lag behind the current year. And then there's a declining grant in the fire department that's shown up in the restricted governmental revenue. That's over $100,000 in recurring revenues that we're seeing a reduction in. And again, that's a little bit more troubling. Again, we're borrowing less in the coming year. Our street resurfacing program is for this year. We'll put money aside next year, but we won't actually be doing resurfacing. Again, recreation participation in some of our programs and facility rentals are down. We're anticipating a fairly significant participation in our scholarship program. As you all know, anybody in the community who wants to participate in our programs, we make it so it's affordable for them. Again, interest earnings are down, and beer and wine revenues are down as well. The two largest revenue sources, sales tax and property taxes, are just about flat. In fact, we're budgeting the sales tax at basically the current level from this year. And the good news is it appears like maybe we bottomed out with sales tax revenue. The bad news is in fiscal year 10-11, it appears that because we're flat, we won't even be back close to where we were in fiscal year 08-09. You'll recall we budgeted about a 9% decrease in sales tax revenues for the current year. So it's going to be a little while before we even get back to fiscal year 08-09 levels. On the property tax side, less than a 1% growth, historically we would see both on sales tax and property taxes, even without a rate increase, we'd see several percentage point increases in each of those revenues, and we're just simply not seeing that. And also, a good thing for folks who meet the property relief program that's approved by the state, that it's good for the folks who qualify for that, but it's about a $41,000 hit to the bottom line for the town in terms of property taxes we won't collect. Again, we think we will meet our sales tax projections for the current year, but that's because we were very, very conservative in our projections for the current year. And while we're not projecting a decline next year, I think we're also being equally conservative in our projections, both on property tax and on sales tax. On the employee side, you all know that we've made a very strong commitment to our employees to maintain current jobs, to maintain the fringe benefits package, and to avoid furloughs, layoffs, and those kind of things. This budget accomplishes that. For the second year in a row, we're not going to be able to fund the pay-for-performance system, but what I am proposing in this budget is that each permanent employee receive a lump sum payment in July. Overall, it equals 1% of our payroll. For each full-time employee, that means $455. The proposal is that it be prorated for our permanent part-time employees based on the number of hours that they work. You all had a detailed presentation from Springstead back in April, and I am proposing that the minimum implementation strategy be approved, which would basically move employees to the minimum of his or her pay grade that would be newly assigned based on the pay study. There was a maximum implementation strategy that really would be the ideal, but simply is not affordable at this time, and that's been communicated by me to employees through a series of employee meetings. As you all also know, Springstead was asked to take a look at the living wage issue. They calculated a living wage of $11.39 an hour. Their market study indicates that the starting minimum wage for the town of Carrboro ought to be $11.78, which is 39 cents above what they calculated the living wage to be. It's higher currently than the living wage of any of the communities in the area who have a living wage policy. This budget also proposes to maintain our current health insurance benefits package, no change in copays, no change in deductibles. Our prescription plan would be the same. Everything is essentially the same as it is in the current year. That obviously comes at a price based on our own claims experience. When we looked at the numbers a couple months ago, we were afraid the increase might be in excess of 20%. The initial proposal from Blue Cross Blue Shield was about 16.7%. While our consultant said that was probably justified, we made the decision to push back to try to get it lowered. And what you see before you is a 13% increase, still significant, but it does protect our benefit package and, you know, to keep it as it is. And when I look around, I know the town Chapel Hill is looking at a 13%+ increase in their health insurance, and I think OWASA is looking at something very similar. So, you know, we keep trying to do things on the wellness side to try to bring that number down, but our increases are based on our own claims experiences. Another new thing that I'm proposing in the budget for next year is, and right now this is a proposal for just for the next fiscal year, but that would be in recognition of the fact that we can't do a lot on the monetary end for employees this coming year, that in addition to the lump sum payment in July, that we give employees their birthday off as an extra day that would not be counted towards vacation or sick leave or their already approved holidays, understanding that some employees can't take that exact day off, but working with our employees to try to give them a day off that would be as close to their birthday as possible. Also, a couple of pieces, I think, of good news for employees who participate, and this is voluntary. The town does make a contribution, but on our dental insurance, we were actually able to negotiate a 5% reduction in the premium, and we've got that locked in for the next 2 years. So we have a fair number of employees who take advantage of that, so that's a little bit of a savings for those employees who participate. And for our supplemental life insurance and supplemental disability insurance that goes beyond what the town provides for employees, there's no rate change in those coverages, so the employees won't see an increase in those fringe benefits. On the operating side, overall, about a little over $100,000 decrease in operating expenses. And despite the fact that we're bringing the fire station online, we had some other debt that will be retiring this coming year. And so we're seeing an overall reduction in debt service of about $72,000. We've set aside what we hope is an adequate amount of money for the Weaver Street Reconstruction Project and Capital Reserve. So the almost $152,000 that was appropriated in the current year's budget won't be necessary for next year, so that's a reduction. We won't have a municipal election in the fall, and you know every other year we have that, and we pick up our share of that cost. Engineering fees and some of the other fees, based on our experience for the current year, we've been able to reduce the budgeted amount for next year. On the flip side, we are seeing some increased operating costs, and the big one, which I'm sure is no surprise to anybody, is bringing the new fire station online. And this excludes any additional personnel costs, but the actual operating expenses for utilities, computer hookups, and those sorts of things, about an $81,000 operating increase in the fire department due to the second station. We also, in accordance with the formula that the board approved a few years ago, will be bumping up the appropriation to our human services agencies by about $4,000, and you all will recall last year, I proposed and you all approved that instead of holding the line, as would have been indicated by the formula, that I proposed and you all approved a $10,000 increase for the human services agencies for the current budget year. And rather than go back to the base from a year ago, I'm recommending that we keep that $10,000 in there and that the increase be based on that higher amount, thus the roughly $4,000 increase. So that would be about $144,000 to be allocated for human services agencies from the town of Carrboro at a time when some of the folks are looking at some reductions. We also are seeing some increase in our IT software maintenance agreement, radio maintenance for police department radios, the new parking lot, Andrew Rigsby lot that we've been working on. And I don't know if you all have noticed, but to me it's just incredible. I don't know how we got along.
How did we do before we had
that,
it?
Yeah. That lot, because every time I buy there, there are lots of cars in there, and I think the local businesses in the area have been very appreciative of that. So it's $7,500. It may be about the best $7,500 we spent from an economic development standpoint in some time.
Thank you.
On the capital outlay side, I am pleased to say that we're able to follow our vehicle and equipment replacement policy. One of the things that I've said to employees in our budget meetings is we're asking employees to continue to do even more with less, with frozen positions and basically frozen salaries for 2 years. I want to make sure that we have good vehicles, good pieces of equipment, so that you're not down at Public Works sitting and waiting on equipment to be worked on and losing productivity and creating frustration. So this budget does propose our replacement policy be continued, and all of the pieces of equipment and vehicles are replacement. We're not proposing anything new. And out of the $560,000, there are two major pieces of equipment. One is a boom truck in the Public Works Department. The other is a replacement brush truck in the fire department. Those two things account for a little over $310,000 out of that total $560,000. Excuse me. The important number to remember more than the 560 is, as you all know, we sort of like you might go and borrow money to buy a car or whatever, we borrow money for our vehicles and equipment on an installment purchase arrangement, and so the debt service is what really impacts the budget, and that's about $126,000 for next year. And speaking of debt service, with the fire department coming online, we will see a principal and interest payments next year on the new fire station in excess of $342,000. And we also have the interest-only cost for the continuation of our sidewalk and greenway program, a little over $22,000. And as you all know, at some point when we issue the permanent financing through the general obligation bonds as opposed to bond anticipation notes, we'll start to be paying that principal back as well, and that number will be much larger than the $22,000. But we have at least another year of reprieve before we'll look at permanent financing. Couple of pieces of equipment in Public Works that don't meet the CIP threshold, a V-Box salt spreader to deal with some of the inclement weather that we experience in Carrboro this year, probably more than in recent years, a replacement riding mower, and then a replacement of IT servers in our computer system in order to make sure, again, that our employees maintain productivity. There are some things that we continue to have on hold. We have fund balance that's been appropriated, and these are in a holding pattern, and we'll ask you all once again in late June to approve the reappropriation of the fund balance. But I want to point out one in particular, and that's the Wilson Park bathroom renovation that was put on hold because the low bid on this project came in over $200,000, and you can see what we had budgeted for it. So I've asked our purchasing officer and Rec and Parks to work together with the architect and see if there are things that we can do to get that down to a more manageable number. I think we all understand the situation that we have with those bathrooms. It's not a good one, and so we're trying to figure out a way to to get that project moving again. But there are about $203,000 worth of projects that in that list that we currently have on hold, and we can move forward as the economy allows and as we can find bidders who will be able to build these projects at a price that we can afford within our budget. Some things that are not funded in this budget, and while the first one is not in and of itself a capital item, it's the expense is brought about as a result of the capital item, the new fire station. That is the three new firefighters. We had originally expected to add three new firefighters in next year's budget. We have a federal SAFER grant application in. We probably won't hear from that until after July 1. If that grant's approved, then we'll be able to fund those three firefighter positions. If it's not approved, then I'm suggesting we hold off on those three firefighters and we look again in fiscal year 11-12 to see if we can afford those three positions at that time. I've talked with Chief Crabtree. I can't tell you he's jumping for joy, but he thinks he can make it work with a new station and being able to disperse firefighters from two different locations. We're still going to have better coverage than we currently have with the one station, and we'll do everything we can to try to get those grant funds, and if we can't, we'll try to make it work for the next year. But as I have explained to all of our employees, my commitment to them has been to do everything I can to protect our current employees' jobs and fringe benefits. And if we start adding new positions, it puts that much more pressure on the ability to maintain our current employees' jobs. So, again, I've asked everybody to step up to the plate and try to do just a little bit more to cover for those jobs that we just can't add right now. So overall, I think, you know, there remains some concern about the fact that our major revenues, sales tax and property tax, really are showing essentially no growth. I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that these recurring revenue declines are a result of the economic conditions that we're not only facing here but in the state, around the country, and really around the world. And while things are difficult for us, we're not seeing the kind of declines that a lot of places in North Carolina are seeing, and we're really pretty fortunate to be in the place that we're in. There are lots of local governments around the state and around the country who are laying employees off, furloughing employees, cutting fringe benefits, cutting salaries, and we've not had to do that. So I think that's a testament to the board. I think it's a testament to the community and to our employees that we're able to do what we're doing. And again, we've got to think both short-term and long-term as you all consider this budget, you know, what we have to look at down the road. We are certainly going to need to finding some additional revenues either through growth or looking at perhaps some impact on future tax rates. We'd like not to do that if at all possible. Those of you who have worked with me for a while understand my disdain for recommending tax increases, and I will do everything I can to avoid that in the future. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we maintain the fiscal integrity of the town, and I want to make sure we're delivering the services that the community has come to expect from this town. Just to point out a few things that we need to be thinking about beyond next year, we took money out of capital reserve to help with vehicle and equipment financing for next year and to help with the debt service on the fire station to minimize the impact on general fund revenue because of the decline in revenues in the general fund. You know, again, I'm recommending that we not fund the three new firefighter positions unless we get grant funding. That's almost $130,000 that we'll need to find at some point if we don't get the grant funding. And in the current year's budget, when we froze the positions, we actually funded those positions with the idea if the economy turned around, we could fill them. If not, that money would lapse into our savings account at the end of the year. This year, to make things work without a tax increase, I'm actually proposing that we only appropriate money that would be the equivalent of one quarter of salary and fringe benefits for those frozen positions, which means the earliest any of those positions could be considered would be April of 2011. And if we don't see a turnaround, we'd continue that freeze. And again, that fourth quarter of 2011, the appropriated funds would simply lapse into our fund balance or our savings account to be used for future years. We know that we had an increase in our employer contribution, or will have for our employer contribution for retirement for next year because of the hit that the local government employees retirement system had with a drop in the stock market a couple years ago. The retirement system board has recommended a series of increases for the next several years, so this is the first of probably three or four increases. As you all know, North Carolina has one of the strongest local government employees and state employees pension systems in the country, and you know, as local government employees, we certainly want to maintain the integrity of that system, but it costs something to do that. So that faces us not only next year but in future years. We really need to look at restoring our pay-for-performance system in future years to an appropriate level. What I'm recommending tonight for next year, the one-time lump sum payment, I think works because of the economy right now. That's not a good strategy to use year in, year out. It really kind of negatively impacts the integrity of the pay plan. It really doesn't account for performance, and it doesn't really take into account job responsibilities and job requirements and so forth. But again, I think occasionally it's a reasonable strategy to use. I think when we have more funds to look at for employee salaries and benefits, we also need to go back and revisit the Springstead study to look at that implementation strategy that went beyond simply the minimum to see if there are things that we can do to make sure that we haven't created additional compression issues within our pay plan because we're only proposing doing the minimum, because that's really all we feel like we can afford to do. We'll also be looking at increased debt service in future years, particularly as we look towards building out the infrastructure for the sidewalk and greenway improvements. Again, at some point we'll need to have permanent financing for that, and we'll stop simply paying interest only, but we'll have the principal and interest on that $4.6 million bond referendum if the board continues to want to approve the maximum amount. And as you all know, we've got projects out there on the plans that exceed the $4.6 million. So there's no shortage of projects to spend the money on. I'd like to think that we won't continue to see rising health insurance costs, but I think at least in the short run, that's probably a pipe dream. You know, again, we're doing all we can on the wellness side because that's where we can have the greatest impact with employees. But, you know, things happen to people. People get sick through no fault of their own. And sometimes, you know, really, really expensive procedures need to happen to take care of our employees. And that impacts the bottom line. But that's why we have insurance. And we've got a really good insurance package, and I know that our employees are very appreciative of the insurance benefit. So, in wrapping it up, you know, life is all about choices. The budget's about choices, and in putting this budget together, we tried to make a series of what we thought were carefully planned choices that balances the needs of the community and maintaining our current service delivery levels, trying to maintain employees' jobs and benefits and give them a small boost in compensation through the lump sum payment and a small morale booster in terms of an additional day off. So I think, again, overall, I feel good about what we're proposing. I think it's a very balanced approach to the budget for fiscal year 2010-2011, and the town will remain in good financial shape with this budget, barring the state doing something really unusual. And I think we have built in some safeguards by being very conservative on the revenue projections and also conservative on our expenditures. So that I'm happy to answer questions. Again, we've got department heads here, and we have a work session scheduled next, if there are, you know, any particular areas that you all want to get into, either with me or the department heads who are here.
Dan?
Yeah, I don't have a question, Steve. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I really appreciate the work you all have done on this budget. Everyone, all the managers here, and all the staff who've been involved. And just to hit a few points, I think the combination of starting up the new fire station, the insurance increases, I mean, you didn't mention the budgeted gasoline and fuel increase, right, but that's in there, and the significant reductions in projected revenue. And that's a lot to take on and still come up with a no tax increase budget, I think is really impressive. And I think that, you know, the people of Carrboro need to know what a good job you all are doing on their budget. And so I want to share that. And I think the other thing that we need to acknowledge is that when positions are frozen, and that means everyone has to do more work, and when the budget's frozen, that means you have to do more with fewer resources. And so we understand that everyone on the town staff, not just in coming up with this budget, but in doing so, is making a commitment throughout the year to a certain level of just commitment to the town that is very invaluable for, you know, getting us through this difficult economic time. And Mark, if I may, I'd like to make a motion kind of formally making a couple of those points, if you're all right with everyone. So my motion is, on behalf of the citizens of Carrboro, the Board of Aldermen recognizes the challenges presented by the current fiscal climate and commends the town management and staff for its hard work, its creativity, and its dedication to keeping Carrboro a great place to live and affordable to our citizens. This resolution to be communicated to the town staff.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you, Dan.
Here, here.
All opposed. The matter passed unanimously. Thanks, Dan. For
sure.
I have a not quite as eloquent, but a follow-up point to Dan. You know, we take a lot of grief for who and what we are. In the larger North Carolina community, and there are people who are always trying to say how fiscally irresponsible we are, when actually we are one of the most fiscally responsible entities in the state. And also the health of our downtown, while it is not perfect, it's not in an ICU either. It's doing very well, and that's because of 20 years of effort in building and sustaining a local economy, which we will continue to build towards. So, you know, I think it's time that people started looking at us for direction instead of comic relief, you know. Although we will always provide comic relief.
Always happy to help with that part.
Yes.
Mark, I wanted to come behind Dan and Jackie and just say that when Steve says do more with less, I mean, those words come easy, but it is hard. And there is there's a true sense and there's a true feeling that Carrboro employees, staff really believes that and has come behind that. And to come up with a tight conservative budget like this at this time, looking forward to 2011 carefully, is greatly valued. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I want to echo all accolades. Well deserved. And I just had one quick question, Steve. I don't know if you have it at the top of your head, but one of the slides noted that the municipal election cost would be decreasing next year. Do you know offhand why that is?
Because we don't have
one. We won't have any.
We don't have a municipal election, so it'll be free.
That's a cost we only incur every other year.
Oh, right, through June. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right, because,
because
the fiscal year 10-11 includes November 10.
Right.
11-12 will include November 11. Anyway.
Yeah, I also want to thank staff and Steve for such a good budget. I had a question, too, on I know that a lot of times we receive federal grants and matching funds, and that this year we've been fortunate enough to have the stimulus funds, and that those aren't necessarily going to be available. So have we started seeing, or do you expect us to start feeling effects as the stimulus funds aren't available?
I don't think so, because the things that we've spent stimulus money on were things that, that we had planned to do. And so we're the sidewalks, for example, Bim and Ash, they were already on the list. We're actually able to do a few more sidewalks because we were able to get $400,000+ in additional money that we hadn't counted on. So we try to be strategic in the kind of things that we've gone out for. Also, the bus shelters, you know, we wouldn't have done some of these bus shelter improvements that came by today. You see right out front the work that is being done to create a new bus shelter out front and several places around town. And we continue to be strategic about looking at other opportunities for federal grants, and with the idea that we have to be very careful about that, because one of the things that we found, maybe more so than in some of the previous grant programs we've been involved in with the stimulus money, it's great to have the money, but there's an incredible amount of red tape involved with it. And we got a great staff, but we don't have many of us, and so we have to be careful about what we bring in, because we've got to account for all of them. We've got to do all the paperwork associated with it. And so it presents some challenges for us. But, you know, we continue to look, and we've got some things that we'll be sharing in the near term on some energy things that, that we think we'll be able to get some money in that funnel it through some of our existing programs in a way that we don't reinvent the wheel, and that we can accommodate hopefully somewhat easily.
Well, here you're on maintaining the amount of funds that are allocated for human services to the nonprofits, and even with the small increase, that's great. So, and ditto to what everybody else said.
Do we know yet what the county's doing?
I don't know. I don't. Where's James? James, do you know what the county's doing?
No, we're waiting to hear from the county manager.
Right. No, I'm talking about, we're all very concerned about their human services. And on top of that, their overall budget. We don't know yet.
I don't. I mean, there's a lot of talk, but Frank Clifton has not presented the county budget yet, so.
It was reported in the paper that the county would not meet a Chapel Hill deadline of the 24th for the budget in regard to the library. So I guess by implication, it means they're running, you know, at least that late.
I would like to be kept posted on what's happening with their human services budget, because a lot of us are getting calls from the Carbrail agencies, people kind of freaking out and very worried about that.
I've heard that they're having a lot of difficult choices. They're pretty strapped.
Mm-hmm.
So we might.
Definitely are.
I would say, you know, we had tough choices, and this was a very difficult budget, but I think it's magnified many times over at the county level.
Mm-hmm. And it's not evil people. It's bad times, not mm-hmm. bad people.
Tough choices.
On that note, considering that, you know, we struggled, and you guys did an excellent job with the budget, but still there's a struggle happening that isn't necessarily so needed, because from the federal government, there's an allocation of funding towards things that, at least in Carver, we don't, and probably throughout the country, we don't necessarily need, and such as war, where half of the federal budget, or 58% of discretionary funding, goes towards Pentagon funding, and that's not even including Iraq and Afghanistan. So in consideration of that, I think it would behoove us as a local government to approach our representative in the House of Representatives where appropriations are made, and point out that we would like less money spent towards war and the Pentagon. And in that vein, I hope to come back to the board, and maybe we can have a resolution to that effect.
Yeah, good idea.
Right.
All right.
All right.
Dan has his hand up.
I don't know if you were about to go to this point, but thinking about, you know, we're kind of in this unusual position because of last week being canceled, of having just received the budget and also having a work session scheduled. I mean, I'd kind of like to read the budget before having a work session, and maybe we could plan to have that discussion on the 25th after the public hearing, and that way we'll all...
What's the public hearing on?
The budget.
Oh, the budget. Okay, so it's not like a...
We hear from citizens.
And then we have a work session.
And then, right.
Assuming there's time for that, that night.
Right, depending on how much comment there is.
Okay.
So we've got, I know we have some other public hearings. I don't recall how many, but we'll make work whatever you all want to make work.
Okay.
The basic outline of that suggestion makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot to digest here, but what does that agenda look like?
Okay, in addition to the hearing on the budget, we've got a public hearing for the Litchfield AIS CUP, continuation of public hearing on the LUO text amendment for modifications to income limit for affordable units, and continuation of public hearing on the stream buffers dealing with Jordan Lake.
Light talk. Is there any other? Had you scheduled any other work session on the budget?
June 1st, but you know. Next week's not too soon. That'd be possible to.
Let's do it next week then.
Oh, but I won't be here next week.
June 1st? I didn't believe this. I kind of recalled that the Smith Level Road issue is coming back.
It is.
Yes,
back
it
on June 1st.
Is.
That's right.
Yeah. So that does. That's a that plenty to talk about that night without adding the budget to the agenda.
I'm just asking. Are you all anticipating a lot of discussion on the public hearing items?
The ones you mentioned.
Well, it started sounding like a long list.
Yes, a long list.
It's hard to tell without having seen the particulars.
Well, let's schedule the budget work session
for the 25th.
Let's put it on the agenda that night. And,
yeah, let's
and
see how
we'll,
it goes.
We'll understand that we may have to reschedule it depending on the. But I suppose put it at the end of that agenda.
I know it's always wonderful to get it passed early, but we do have until the end of June.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, it's proposed to be passed on the 15th of June.
Right.
The last meeting's the 22nd.
Right.
Unless you all schedule.
Have a little.
What
she's
saying is that's okay.
It's tight, but there's wiggle room.
There's not a problem with that. Okay. I take it as a motion from Dan that we put this on the agenda for the 25th. All those motion was seconded down here. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. We have had a request for an executive session on a personnel matter.
Okay. Move we go on to executive session.
For a personnel matter.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. We go into executive session for a personal matter. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.